I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here at the Valley End, it's Fleetwood who get us underway. Shinny prepares to send this one in again. Lots of movement again, and again it comes in, and it's... And this time it's Purrington, who meets the header in the six-yard box and buries it to put Charlton in the lead.
Well, that was three brilliant corners on the spin. Each one was slightly... Well, the first two were slightly similar, but that one was different. It was... Charlton just stepped away, different positioning, and the whip on the cross was excellent, and it invited anyone to come and hit it. All the focus, we were focusing on Innes, looking at Innes. And it's Ben Purrington who pops up and scores...
There's obviously a weakness at their near post. That was mid to near. And Ben's attacked it brilliantly and got a great header. 1-0.
So Bogle has a chance to counter-attack it. Bogle approaching the edge of penalty onto his left foot. Over. Bogle strikes. Save it.
Yes!
Just there.
Come on!
And Charlton make it two. Connor Washington getting the fourth of his season so far. And it was a great counter-attack from Charlton. Gunter winning the ball. Bogle driving towards the edge of the penalty area. Powerful effort. Parried by Leutweyer. And there was Connor Washington on hand, onside, to make it two.
Yeah, brilliant there. I know it was early on in that passage of play, Albie dropped right back in as a back five, and then Chris has talked to him to go and press the ball. He's pressed, then Chris has pressed. So they worked together really well, nicked it, and then Omar, really positive there when he got the ball at the centre-half, and he's shot, good save, and then Connor's there.
Coots looks for a potential switch across towards Evans, towards the penalty. It's a lovely control. Evans back onto his right foot, shooting chance and scores. And Charlton's long clean sheet record finally comes to an end. Chet Evans receiving the ball, edge of the penalty, gets onto his right foot, and his powerful effort beats Ben Amos and Fleetwood back into this game.
That's a good finish. It's a good take, to be fair to him.
He uses Mackay onto his right foot, ball in the penalty. It's a decent looking one towards Evans. It's another goal. It looked like
a foul
on Ben Purrington.
Surely there's a foul on Purrington there.
And Fleetwood have made it level. A little bit of confusion. It looked like Purrington might have been pulled back. It's not been given, and Fleetwood have equalised. Three goals in a matter of, well, two goals should I say, in a matter of, what, 30 seconds or so, 50 seconds or so. It's left Charlton a little bit stunned.
We need to regain our composure here.
Morgan looking for a reverse ball across to Washington. Looks for the give and go. Morgan's in the penalty here. Was he tripped?
Yes, he was!
Brilliant football from Charlton. Morgan with a 1-2 with Washington. And Morgan was tripped, possibly by Andrew, the left-back, or Mulgrew, one of the two. And Charlton have a penalty for Washington to take. Referee blows a whistle. Washington steps up and scores!
Yes!
And Charlton retake the lead. Connor Washington with the second of his night. Penalty to the goalkeeper's right. He went the right way, the goalkeeper. Couldn't do anything about that. And Charlton take the lead.
Great reaction from the lads. Superb reaction. Poked away up to Finlay.
It's got to be time.
And then a touch out from Coates on his target. And that's the final whistle. Superb battling effort, especially in this second half from Charlton.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez and we'll be looking back this week on the BMP at the win over Fleetwood Town, our sixth in a row, and of course ahead to Saturday's home game in the FA Cup, the magic of the cup against Plymouth Argyle. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer and from Connor Washington throughout the show as well. We're also going to hear from two chaps who've joined me on the pod this week. First up, we've got Mr. Tom Wallin. How the devil are you, Tom?
I'm very well. Desperately trying to think of some sort of presidential pun, but I couldn't think of one quick enough.
Oh, God. Because Connor Washington scoring on Tuesday night on US election night. I mean, I got a hell of a lot of mileage out of that. So probably worthwhile. Yeah.
I enjoyed Bowyer's reaction more than Washington's.
Yeah, Bowyer did not laugh at my joke. Connor Washington very politely laughed at my crap joke. But, you know, shows the measure of the man, I guess. And also a man who has to laugh at my jokes or will be kicked off the podcast is Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, good, mate. You okay?
Yeah. Did you like that one?
It was very good.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
I couldn't stop laughing on Tuesday night, stitches.
Oh, that's the right answer. Good to hear.
Bo's reaction was just like absolutely priceless. It was so funny.
He did not find it funny. So anyway, on tonight's show, as I said, we just heard the goals from the Fleetwood game. And before we really look ahead at Plymouth, obviously we're going to dissect that one, Tom. And I mean, it's the first time in a while that we've been dealt a real setback. You know, obviously getting that two goal advantage. And then all of a sudden having it wiped out with two goals in the space of a minute. I mean, that was a real shock. So it's to come out on top yet again for the sixth time in a row as we climb up to third in the League One table. I mean, this squad is, questions that are being asked of it currently. Well, they've got the answers. And the longer this goes on, the more carried away I'm going to get.
Definitely. Yeah, they're standing up to all kinds of tests at the moment. And I think you could look at that result in a few different ways. The way I choose to look at it, as you say, is we had that period of adversity in the game against a very good footballing side. And, you know, Bowyer said it himself today. I know Jerry Barton said it after the game. And I know a few people were kind of critical of the sort of headline. But if you read his comments, he was probably right. You know, he said Charlton maybe deserved to win, but we played nice football. And I think you could agree with that if you watched the game. So I think to come through a test like that, and when you haven't conceded for so long, very easy to concede a goal and fall apart, as we did by conceding another one a minute later. But we regrouped, we won our penalty and got ourselves back in front. And then we looked a lot more assured again. I still don't think Ben Amos had a huge amount to do. It was just a kind of crazy minute, really. And I guess for Lee Bowyer, the positives for that are that it wasn't something, a fall down of the system. It wasn't, you know, the personnel we'd picked or anything like that. It was just a crazy couple of minutes that we can hopefully just forget about and focus on the positives from the game, because there were plenty. Obviously, some of the forward play was good. The fact we didn't have a lot of possession but still took our chances was good. We've seen that in a lot of games recently. And yeah, just overall a very, very good performance against another good side. Johnny Williams obviously said it after Portsmouth, you know, we've played a lot of good teams in the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, and that was another one. We stood up to the test and got another 3 points.
Yeah, well, because that was the thing, actually. When Johnny said that after the Portsmouth game, I did look at the fixtures we'd had, and I think like the previous four that we'd won before then had all been against teams in the bottom half, so I sort of took that with a bit of a pinch of salt. But now, Lewis, we have beaten Portsmouth, and we have beaten a Fleetwood side that looked good, you know, and they've got some big names in that team, and they're obviously managed by the sort of manager that can certainly motivate you, because you're worried he's going to headbutt you if you don't do well. So, you know, clearly we've beaten two good teams in the last couple of weeks now, and that's what's really making me sort of sit up and take a bit of notice of this side. And, you know, we'll hear from Connor Washington. He talks about the quality throughout the squad, and we're seeing it, because we had to make changes and we had to have a bit of a makeshift back four, back five at times, but we're still picking up these results. And like I say, in the last two against sides that are actually quite good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head, really. We've got decent results against two sides that I believe will be up there come the end of the season. I thought Fleetwood had they were very attacking. They came for us all game. They didn't sit back. They've got experienced pros in their side, you know, Charlie Mulgrew, Glenn Whelan, people like that, and the attacking threat that they boasted as well. And we dealt with that, you know, and bearing in mind that we we're also missing Akin Famwo from that back, you know, that back line, who's been incredibly impressive alongside Ryan Innes. And we've had to kind of sort of get by and make shift, and we still didn't look that uncomfortable. I mean, as Tom said there, there was that kind of crazy minute that we had there with Ched Evans with the two goals and a slight lapse in concentration, I suppose. But it was interesting to see how we reacted to conceding that goal, because we had gone so long without doing so that it was always going to be a test and see how the guys reacted. You know, unfortunately, we did lapse for that minute and concede the two. But the most important thing is that we showed the grit and determination to get ourselves back in front and then ultimately hold on to that lead against very impressive opposition. And I'm getting more and more impressed with this side as the weeks go by, because we just look a lot more comfortable. Even in the tail ends of games, we speak so much about, often we're like one goal ahead and in the last 5 minutes we have a complete meltdown and either concede and gift the points away, or we're kind of clinging on for dear life and it's like heart and mouth. But I don't think I've seen that out of us this season. We look a lot more calm and composed, and we see games out much better, and we're starting to take our chances as well. And Connor Washington, I mean, what a player he's turning into for us, and what a deal that was to get him in, because not only has he impressed me with his goal scoring form for us so far, but also his work rate and his overall gameplay. I've been very impressed. And as you say, with the rotation, we've got options there too to bring the likes of Chucks and Ike and Paul Smith off the bench, and you've got Omar Bogle in there as well. And these are four strikers who are getting a decent amount of game time, and in that game time they're all producing something. And it's really, really good to see, and I'm loving this side at the moment. It's the biggest shame for me is that we're not all there to watch them, because I think, you know, they're a real crowd pleaser of a side. Some of the football being played is fantastic, and yeah, I'm really happy with the way things are going at the moment, and I'm sure most Charlton fans would be.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. And I agree with what you said about Connor Washington, and like I say, we're going to come on to him later on in the show, but he does bring that running, that tireless running, and a few goals as well, and of course a very good sense of humour that we've seen already. Tom, off to the perfect start, you know, and it became a bit of a running joke on Twitter that about corners coming to nothing, but actually, if you look at our corner stats over, I mean, last year we'd scored quite a few from corners, and we've grabbed a couple in the last couple of weeks now, and a bit of an unlikely source for the opener against Fleetwood on Tuesday. Now, Ben Purrington, a player who you'd have to say has picked up a few detractors recently, so very pleased to see him put a finger to his lips and quiet them down with a little goal. And to be fair, I've probably been in those detractors at the time. I don't think he's quite the exciting left back that Ian Martson is, but he does the job, and he scored an important goal on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think sometimes fans can have short memories, and I don't necessarily blame them given what we've been through in the past few months. You kind of don't want to look too far into the past, all the way back to the likes of Wembley and the early parts of last season. But I think firstly on corners, if you look at stats across football, I think it's often a running thing that you hear on kind of football podcasts that they laugh when a ball goes behind for a corner and the crowd start cheering and getting excited, because I can't remember, but it's a very, very low percentage that actually turn into goals. So
it's something like, it's much worse than like 1 in 10 or something like that.
It's crazy. So I know your thing has become a bit of a joke because you're obviously tweeting it in the same way, etc. But the truth is that not many corners are going to. And so I think actually we probably score a much higher percentage of our corners than many teams do. And I remember probably two seasons ago, we were speaking about all of the work Jacko was doing with the likes of Bauer and Pearce and getting them into positions to score goals, even probably all the way back to the likes of Michael Morrison, you know, and Dorian De Vita. I remember getting on a lot of corners as well. So on the whole, we're good from set pieces. I was delighted for Ben Purrington. You know, I've been slightly critical of him as well, but I think we have to accept that he's not the forward running player, as you say, that Martson is, or De Silva is, or even someone like Jake, when he's played in that wing back position, has been. He's very functional, but he can score goals. As I say, obviously Wembley, we saw it at Blackburn away as well, ghosting in at that back post. And yeah, I'm really pleased for him, because he has had his critics. I think some of them deserved. I think the sending off was silly, but some of them I think are a bit harsh. And yeah, he's probably going to play second fiddle to Martson, particularly when we're looking for attacking threat on the flanks. but he can certainly do a job for us. And I think he's the sort of player that when we're a goal or two up and we've got some time left, he's the player to sort of bring on and hopefully shore things up a bit. Because he is a good player. He's not, you know, he's probably not up there in our top three or four, but he's a solid squad player, and he showed his importance for us then.
Yeah, and the thing about our set pieces in particular at the moment is the entire time that we have that freak Ryan Innes, you know, so tall, he's either going to be what you aim for or he's going to be a distraction for the defence, who are going to be concentrating so hard on not letting him get the ball that someone else will peel away. And obviously we doubled that lead, and we'll talk about Omar Bogle maybe a bit later on, Lewis, but you know, let's speak about Connor Washington then. The striker's goal. Strikers love to get a rebound like that because it shows that they've done their running, they found their space, they followed the ball in, and he would have been so pleased with what was a relatively simple finish in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's been, for me, one of the most impressive acquisitions we've had, because we knew the size of the void that there was in that striker position with Lyle Taylor. And you know, we were never going to, you don't just sort of hand pick these 20 goal a season strikers, you know. So it was a big old gap to fill, and we're sort of filling that within the four players. But it's not the goal scoring side of it with Connor Washington that's impressing me the most. It's just his overall work rate and bringing people into play and just being a bit of a nuisance. And like you say, like getting in those poacher positions to get on the end of, you know, whether it be a rebound, a cross or whatever, you have to get in those positions as a striker. And he's showing that he's doing just that. You know, he's getting in the right positions. And it was great work from Omar to get that shot away, and the keeper spilled it. But Connor's got there ahead of the defender and you know, got us in that 2-0 lead. And, you know, one of the things with Connor Washington when he came in, I think, was that you know that he can score goals. Like, he's got a great record at Peterborough. He got 27 goals in 82. QPR, he sloped off and got 13 in 92. And obviously, he went out to Sheffield United on loan and spent time at Hearts last season, where he got 3 in 15. And we're maybe thinking, you know, it's one of those players that's struggling to find his form and find sort of that consistent goal-scoring record that people know he's capable of. He's coming for us now, and what's he got, 5 in 10? Which is, you know, not a bad return for somebody that's not played a huge amount of football, didn't have a overly, you know, large preseason like a lot of players, but he's really impressing me so far, and I think that it's a credit to that recruitment, because you think he came in during the toughest of times for us with the embargo, and how lucky we were to get him over the line when we did, and it's really proving that recruitment has worked in our favour, and I'm really, really enjoying watching him at the moment, and I think he's going to be a fantastic fit here at Charlton.
Yeah, he's done superbly so far. So, Tom, we're tuning up and cruising. And what on earth happened next? Because I managed to miss both of those goals. I looked up for the first one. I was still waiting to go on air to talk about our second goal. And then I missed their second one because I was too busy trying to write a sarcastic tweet about us losing the clean sheet record. So I actually just looked up and both of them were in the back of the net. So you're going to have to talk me through what the hell happened there. The side that hadn't conceded in 9.5 hours then did it twice in just over a minute. I think I worked it out. Something like 1 minute and 10 seconds between the two goals.
I think, yeah, a combination of lapsing concentration. Again, you go back to kind of classic football cliches. You're at your kind of most vulnerable just after you've scored. And I think for probably the first time this season, that was the way we looked. We didn't seem to switch on from the kickoff. And as I say, just lapses in concentration. And you combine that with a striker in Ched Evans that, whatever you think of his past, and obviously, he had that high-profile court case, and I think some time in jail, didn't he? But whatever you think of him in terms of that, he's a very good striker at this level. And Joey Barton took a punt on him again. Whether you feel he should be playing football or not isn't really the discussion we're having here, but he's a very good player. And he just took advantage of those lapses in concentration. And you look back at the goals, it's just like, it almost looks like we're playing at half speed. We're just a little bit sluggish to the ball, a little bit slow, just trying to kind of catch up. And I think that first one probably did knock us, you know. And I think, you know, the back four were so unfamiliar with the sight of seeing the ball in the back of their net that they probably were then just still trying to regroup when, again, he got through. And you watch both goals back, it's very sloppy on our part. But like I say, the fact that they happened in quick succession, and apart from that, I don't remember Ben Amos having a lot to do. He made a good save in the second half, tipping the ball over the bar, I remember. Maybe one other off the top of my head, I can't think now. So he still didn't have a lot to do. So I think what really impressed me was as soon as those goals went in, we did manage to regroup and we did manage to sort ourselves out. You worry that if those goals had come perhaps a little bit more apart, say 10, 15 minutes apart, it might have been the result of something a bit more severe. But as it was, I think, look, it was just one of those lapses in concentration. You could see them all looking around a bit like, well, I didn't expect that to happen. So you just chalk it up to that and move on. I'm sure we won't see the same at the weekend, which probably cues something awful happening. But yeah, I don't think it was anything more than that. And obviously we went on to get the win anyway, luckily, so it didn't matter. But yeah, I think it was just that, really.
Yeah, a potential foul on Ben Purrington for the second one for me as well. I haven't seen it back only once, though, but I did think there was potentially something dodgy with that. But as Tom said, Lou, we went into that second half and we started well. We won the penalty. It's that boy, Albie Morgan, who's come in for a bit of praise from Lee Bowyer after the game, which is interesting because, of course, you know, Bowes asked for more from Albie Morgan. I think we heard in the commentary highlights there he was praised by Jason Pearce for his part in the second goal, where he sort of dropped back in and gave Gunter the room to manoeuvre forward. So, you know, and part of that tracking back was what Bowyer wants. But obviously, if you're a midfielder, especially one who's slightly forward-facing, then you're going to want to be involved in incidents in the opposition penalty area as well. And he played a wonderful little 1-2 and got in there, got that penalty, and Connor dispatched it very nicely indeed.
Yeah, he did. And as you said, I thought Albie was absolutely fantastic in that game. And I'm really happy for him because, as you say, he's come under quite a lot of stick from Lee Bowyer over the last couple of seasons, really. And I don't think it's because he's got this disliking to him or something, but I think he sees maybe himself in Albie Morgan, like, as a young player, and he's just sort of frustrated when he's not doing the things he knows he's capable of doing, or he's trying to drum into him that you do have to do the dirty side of the game. And that's what he did on Tuesday. And it was great to hear, you know, Bo sort of quote that Albie's made a huge step forward tonight, because maybe that is, you know, the step that he needed to take to be considered a little bit more as a regular starter, because I rate Albie Morgan massively. I did in the League One season, and I thought he didn't look out of place last season when he played in the Championship as well. So I'm really happy that he had that chance on Tuesday. I was glad to see his name on the team sheet. I didn't expect to see it, and I'm glad that he was in there. And as you say, like, the great 1-2 to win the penalty, he's got to make those runs, and it shows that he can do that going forward. But he also was called upon in defence when required and got back and tracked back when he needed to and helped out his defensive teammates. So an all-round fantastic game from Albie Morgan, and I imagine he'll get some more minutes in the coming cup games as well, because he's not played a lot of football this season, was being touted for a loan potentially if there was no interest, which I found absolutely baffling. So yeah, maybe that confidence from the game on Tuesday, along with some minutes maybe Saturday against Plymouth and next week in the Papa John's Pizza, whatever it's called, or the Papa Booba Diop Trophy, as Nave called it the other day, that'll probably benefit him, and hopefully we see a little bit more of him as a regular this season.
Yeah, I do hope that this tie-up with Papa John's does mean that we get free pizza somehow, but we'll find out as the game goes on. Right, Tom, so obviously we held on. I think there was one good save from Ben Amos from a Ched Evans header, but we did have our chances as well. You know, Chooks and EK came on, hit the post, and had a header that went just wide. Washington had a chance for his hat-trick on the turn that he slashed a little bit wide. But, you know, overall, I actually want to talk about a player who stood out for me on Tuesday, Omar Bogle. You know, played his part in that second goal. Obviously, it was his shot that was blocked. But I thought his hold-up play is getting better and better. You know, he probably could well have had a penalty against Portsmouth on Saturday. We're starting to see the Omar Bogle that obviously Lee Bowyer and Steve Gallen were expecting to see, because, you know, probably easy to think, oh, he wasn't that busy in his first couple of appearances. But as we'll hear from Bo later on, you have to remember that he's not had a pre-season, he's not fit like the rest of them, so he's playing catch-up, and he's starting to look good, and he has to with Chooks and Ike in the form he's in.
Definitely, yeah, we've obviously joked about him a few times, haven't we, with some of the chances he's had and being caught offside and various things, and it doesn't look like it's clicking. But I think, yeah, you know, we've been saying it slightly in jest. I think it's taken him a little while, you're right, but he is playing catch-up. I think Connor himself said it, you know, he would probably see himself as a Championship striker, as they all would. I think it's a little bit optimistic when you look at his career to say that, but certainly at League One level, I think he's already showing that he can do a job. And, you look at the likes of people like Firmino is obviously the big example of a number nine or a striker that doesn't necessarily get that many goals themselves, but certainly plays a part in them. And I think Omar is starting to do that now. He's getting in the right places. As you say, his hold-up play looks good. He obviously set Washington up with the shot that kind of ricocheted back out to him. But he's starting to get chances himself now, like that, creating chances for himself. I'm sure it won't be long until he starts to get some goals. And I think where Boyer is right is I don't see him, you know, banging 20 in at the end of the season. I mean, if he proves me wrong, then brilliant. But if he gets anywhere from 5 to 10 and sets up, you know, 7 or 8 as well, you'd look at that as a positive season. And obviously Washington himself has got a lot of goals already for the short space of time he's been here. I think Chucks looks electric so far this season and he's got goals. Paul Smith, obviously, we're waiting to see from him as well. So I just think that there's a really nice balance across those front four in terms of what they offer us and the combinations of them. And yeah, he's definitely going to play a big part in this season. And every game, he looks like he's improving a little bit, I think.
Yeah, certainly does. Although, to be fair, at the start of the show, I did not think we'd be comparing Omar Bogle to Roberto Firmino. But here we are. Right, let's hear from Lee Bowyer after the game on Tuesday. He's a great manager, a terrible judge of jokes, though. But the Addicts boss was pleased with his evening's entertainment.
It was a very good game. I thought game to watch. Good. Trying to play the game in the right way. Moved the ball well. But I felt overall, I thought that we deserved to win. Once we was 2-0 up, I don't think Ben had actually touched the ball. We was 2-0 up and cruising, and they've got some good players that can hurt you. And Evans up top from nowhere, he just went bang, bang, two goals from nowhere. Didn't see that coming at all. Most important thing, we regrouped at half time and we got the win.
Yeah, for a team that's gone so long without conceding twice like that in just over a minute, could have been a bit of a shell shock, but I guess you'd be pleased with the way they reacted from that to come out and win it in the second half.
Yeah, obviously we defended a lot better. Sometimes that happens in football, that like from nothing, you know, didn't really do much wrong. Sometimes you've got to appreciate the touch and the finish from who you're playing against, and Evans is very good at that. So, yeah, but it should have been stopped. It shouldn't have happened. But today is a day where the strikers helped out the defenders. In previous weeks, it's been the defenders helping out the strikers. But as a group, can't ask no more from them. You know, they've got given absolutely everything from these last 6, 7, 8 games. Saturday, Tuesday. Like, it's relentless. Can't explain to you how difficult that is to do, like, for the lads. And I'm really proud of them. So now they can have a little break. They'll have a little break now and recharge the batteries, because they definitely need it. I think you see there at the end, a few players were running on empty. So they'll get a little break now.
The commentator's dream for Connor Washington to score twice on the US election day. But he deserved it. He was one of those many ones that was just running himself into the ground. And he's done that all season for you.
Yeah, he don't stop working hard for the team. But I think they all do that. I feel a bit for Omar, because if you think like the goal, Connor's first one, like Omar does all the hard work and it comes back. Don't get me wrong, you've got to be there at the right place, right time, and good finish as well. The penalty was excellently taken. So the pair of them, I think they're working hard together. I think they're working well together, the pair up top. So they look like that they can cause damage.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Omar Bogle, because obviously with Chucks in the fine form he is, and Omar knows that when he starts games, he has to put in performances like we've seen the last couple, really. He seems to be really grown into it over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and he's getting fitter. He's another one that you've got to remember. We're way ahead of where we should be, really, with this group, because again, I think today we started with a brand new back four from what we had on Saturday. Like, it's crazy what we're doing. But there's a group, like a lot of them came in not so long ago and they hadn't even done any pre-season. And we've just had to throw them in the deep end but now it's starting to pay off a bit, you know, like they're getting fitter, like Omar, strength, physicality, bringing it down, rolling people, running away from people, getting fouled, like one-on-one, and getting half a yard and getting shots off. So, the group are doing well.
It's up to third in the league now. I remember after the Lincoln game, you know, obviously we'd lost that one, but you were really positive about what was going to happen over the next few weeks because you knew that it was going to be bodies coming in. But I guess even 6 wins in a row, I don't think many would have seen that coming. Are you starting to reassess what you think could be achieved this season, or is this sort of going along the line that you thought it would do?
No, obviously, like I just said, we're way ahead of where I thought we would have been. It's a long, long way to go. But we're doing better than I expected so quickly. You know, like to gel a group together, it takes a bit of time. If you remember 2 years ago when we got promoted, it was really the back end of the season that we really got going, you know. It's not easy to bring in 12 new players and get them to gel as quickly as what we had. I think most games we've had 9-10 players that didn't even play for us last year playing, starting. So it takes time. But what we have done is we've recruited people that are winners, and that makes a difference. And they will keep pushing, and hopefully we'll keep picking up 3 points.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers header, and it's Jones!
Yes!
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 Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Jones has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
There we go. Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Don't forget to be looking ahead to the home game in the FA Cup with Plymouth later on in the show. But we just heard there from Lee Bowyer, Louie. I can't remember ever coming onto a show where we don't have to talk about what an amazing job he's done. But again, this rebuild of the squad, you know, from nothing. And obviously with Thomas Sandgaard's help and with Steve Gallen's help, you know, I mean, he's not doing it on his own, but he's the man at the helm in terms of what we're seeing on the pitch. And once again, you know, he's had to do things a bit differently this year. You know, we've got an interesting tweet in a minute that we'll come to and then respond to it with some quotes that Bo gave Rich earlier on this afternoon. But, you know, he's moulded another side almost from scratch and a very different side to the one that he moulded 2 years ago, but he's found a way to win games.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it, isn't he, as well, getting these teams together. And, you know, we look back to the start of the season before Thomas came in and we're struggling, aren't we? You know, we've been forced to play the likes of Charlie Barker, who, don't get me wrong, was fantastic when he came in. But get incredibly young, and you're looking into like the depth of the squad, and there is none. You know, that squad depth isn't there. and that takeover goes through, and the recruitment that's been done in such a short space of time from Bo and Steve Gallen and everything, it's just outstanding. You know, the players they've brought in for this level are fantastic. I mean, we've even like unearthing rough diamonds. They're just like unbelievable at it. Yeah, Ryan Innes is the perfect example, because he came in and you had all of his previous loan clubs sort of giving him a bit of stick. You had Palace fans saying that, you know, he was no good and hadn't played a game for them, but what do they know about a decent footballer? And the same with, you know, and him coming in with that reputation and everything. He's come in and it's like Bo's just got him to play. He's been fantastic. And he looks like he's settled now, and that there's a player in there that is going to perform for this football club and give everything and give 100% every week. And you see that in every acquisition, even the loan players, you know, like Akin Famwo. And we just look like a really good squad. And I think, you know, Connor Washington mentions, and we'll come on to it in a bit, you know, the quality is just outstanding. And we've never really, well, in recent history anyway, been in a position where we can comfortably rotate. You know, there are some positions where maybe slightly light with, you know, with defensive injuries. I don't know the seriousness of Famwo's injury. Hopefully Pearce will be back soon as well. But you've got cover in every position, you know, and that is something that we've lacked. We've had to sort of do makeshift and get by in so many, you know, so many situations. And now it's really looking like we've got a competitive squad at this level, and you can move people around and you can rotate in what's going to be a hectic schedule because of the season being, you know, started later because of the pandemic. And the scheduling is harsh, and we know that with the Saturday, Tuesday. And we're in a position where we've got the players to deal with that now. And that's something that's incredibly refreshing, because we just haven't had that recently. And that rotation that you have, you're not sort of losing a huge amount of quality, because a lot of the players, I feel, are on an even keel when it comes to their quality. You know, I think Chucks and Omar Bogle, for example, are very similar players. Chucks, goal scoring wise, I think he's looked like unbelievably threatening. Every time he gets the ball, he looks like he could score. He got in two great positions on Tuesday and hit the post on one of those attempts. Paul Smith is a lively player that can play not just up front, but he can play out wide. You've got those midfield options that are just seem to be endless, and defenders, two right backs. I mean, both of those right backs would walk into any League One side, and we've got one, you know, one of them as a backup. You know, it's incredibly healthy, and we haven't been in this position for a long time, and I'm enjoying every single minute of it. And Boya has to take a huge amount of credit, and I'm just so glad that finally, after all that frustration of last season and hearing him so, you know, sort of neglected and down and upset when we got relegated, to hear him now and have the right tools at his disposal to make this a successful football club again, it's really, really good to see, and I'm over the moon.
Yeah, it's the change in sort of attitude, not attitudes, but in how the some of the manager and some of the staff seem to be in their mood at the moment. There was a video the club put up of Steve Gallen. It's only a short clip earlier that I saw on Twitter, but you know, the smile on his face when he's talking about Thomas Sandgaard, and you know how much easier it must have made their jobs, or literally more possible than it was before. But anyway, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that come in. This is a good one from Steve Richards, who's emailed us, says, "Hello from the Scottish branch of the Addicks Supporters Club. Another great result for the boys, battling qualities all over the pitch. Did you know that when Shiniesta played at Inverness Caledonian Thistle up near Loch Ness, the local fans called him the Nessie Messi?" Nice. Nessie Messi. So I think we need to either use that or come up with an equivalent for Shiniesta, the Nessie Messi. I like that. I might start using that on Twitter over the next few games. Right, let's have a look at some of the other tweets. Dave Boy says, "What I take from Tuesday is that we are winning the league. Come on, you Reds." Steve Jones said, "Fleetwood, probably the best team we've played so far this season, and we've showed great character, having lost the two-goal lead, and to get the third and to see the game out." Michael Smith says, "We need to develop better game management. Our desire to close down the opposition wanes after 20 minutes because of poor ball retention. Our midfielders get exhausted and we have poor spells midway through each half. The good news is that this is all in our own hands to rectify." Robert Crouch said, "Fleetwood are a decent side, so to come back after 2-2 show great character, which bodes well for the rest of the season." So let's talk about that tweet there, Tom, from Michael Smith, where he's talking about us not having a lot of possession, because I mean, Bo's said to said to Rich today in on the South London Press website, when we were in this division before, we were a side that dominated possession, but we had different players then. So with the group we have now, we have to go and find a different way to win. That's what you've done. You can have the ball all you like, but if you don't create chances, you're not going to win games. I would say that Fleetwood on Tuesday night, they moved the ball well. I agree with that. But before our second, our goalie never touched the ball and we were 2-0 up. And Bo goes on to talk about how this was like a game plan, or he looks at tactics and how we're going to affect the side we're playing and attack their weaknesses. And in some cases, giving up a bit of the ball is what we do. So whereas Michael, rightly pointed out that we did give up a lot of possession on Tuesday, and it could have gone a different way. If Chet Evans heads that third one under the bar and Amos doesn't make that save that he obviously is there to do, then maybe it could be a different game. But Bayer's looked at strengths and weaknesses, and if you look at chances created, I mean, we were all over them, but if you look at possession, it's the other way around. So I think Bo will look at that and say he got his game plan right, and if it weren't for falling asleep for a minute and a half, we would have won that 2-3-0.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you've got to make the most of the squad you've got, and playing possession based football takes a lot of time because you need players to really understand each other and move for each other, and that takes a lot of time to gel. But working hard doesn't. That's something he'll expect from day one. And yes, they need to be fit enough to do it. And if you're going to be a side that concedes possession quite easily, you need to be fit to be able to track the ball down. And you need to be mentally fit as well to maintain your shape and keep a structure. And then you need to be able to move the ball quickly. And I think when you look back at the sides we've had previously who do play, play the ball more on the floor, you think of the likes of Bauer and Naby Sarr at the back, people like Josh Cullen and Joe Aribo in midfield, who even Conor Gallagher last year, who were able to get their foot on the ball and really drive forward and use the ball. At the moment, I wouldn't say that we have as many of those. We've got people like Pratley and Watson who will get the ball and look to shift it out quickly and move the ball forward. And then you're relying on your front players to do a lot of the work. And by their very nature, the front players are already hopefully in the final third of the pitch. And therefore, there isn't a lot of time for them to have possession, because you hope they're going to have a shot. So I get what he's doing. Obviously, in an ideal world, everyone wants to see their teams play tiki-taka and win 8-0. But I think on the balance of it, if you had to pick one, you'd pick the results, wouldn't you? And we're getting it. And it's not like we're playing ugly football at all. You think back to the Portsmouth game last weekend. Okay, they probably had more possession and we didn't create an awful lot. But the two goals we did score were really good quality. They were just very quick counter-attacks where we got the ball, shifted it forward quickly, got balls in the box and finished them. And that's a way to play football, and it's very efficient. So I think, for Boya, he's always had fit teams. I don't mean injury-wise, because we know how bad that is, but in terms of the actual players, they are able to run around.
Well, looks-wise for a second there.
Well, don't get me started on some of them. But I think, he's got players, and Connor referenced it himself in his post-match, didn't he, about the miles he clocks up in a game. If you've got players that can work hard and run and run and run themselves into the ground, that's half your job done. And then you can then work on the other aspects of the game. So Boya's been a very shrewd tactician since the moment he came in the door. He's never set up a team without thinking about the opposition, unlike obviously Robbo, who we had before. And so, you have to look at the results. And so far, he's getting it right the majority of the time. So I have no problem with him playing that way. I think it's a very shrewd way to do it.
Excellent stuff. Hello as well to Jonathan West from the Upbeats. I saw that he's been doing some singing and dancing on Twitter this week as well, keeping the spirits up as we go into lockdown. So I hope you're well, Jonathan. I hope you're enjoying the show. We've got one more email from Andrew, but I'm going to save that until after we hear from Connor Washington. Anyone who was paying attention on Twitter on Tuesday night will know that I cracked like some absolutely top drawer jokes. I'm claiming that. Stop counting the jokes. They were great jokes. Lee Bowyer didn't laugh at him, but Connor Washington did find it reasonably funny that he scored a brace on the day that all eyes were on Washington, of course, for the US the US election. See, even I'm laughing at it now. It's a great joke. But anyway, I spoke to Connor Washington after the game, and the striker said he was pleased to come out with the 3 points against Fleetwood.
Yeah, it was a slog, to be honest. It didn't feel like a 3-2 game, but I think we probably had the better of it. They had a lot of possession, but I think we managed the game well and probably deserved the 3 points on the on the basis of everything, really.
Yeah, I mean, looking at your two goals, the first one in particular, I bet you're pleased with, because every striker loves to be the one to finish off a little chance like that.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I love playing down the middle, and like you say, those goals are definitely the best ones. And when things are going for you, you've got to make the most of those chances. And thankfully, I managed to do that tonight.
And I thought the partnership between yourself and Omar today looked very good as well. Did you enjoy playing with him? Obviously, he played a big part in your first goal.
Yeah, I mean, he's done brilliant for the goal, and I thought he was fantastic all night. To be honest, I was really surprised when you managed to sign a player of that caliber at this level. To be honest, I mean, he's a championship striker, as I think we all four of us probably would like to think we are. To be honest, so it's a great strike force, and Bogues is getting fitter and fitter every game, and you can see that he's getting sharper. And I mean, I just think it's going to be an absolute glut of goals for him. Just around the corner.
It's a great run, obviously, that Charlton are on now, six games in a row that you've won. The confidence must just be growing and growing in the side. Obviously, it's a newly assembled side, and one that's had to play a really relentless run. Obviously, a lot of the players who came in haven't had a proper pre-season as well. So to get this run of victories in such a short spread of time must have been really pleasing.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, I went away from the international break and came back, and I felt we had about 15 new players. But I think credit's got to go to the manager, Steve, and obviously the owner as well, because the players I came back to was just a crazy quality, to be honest, at this level. And I think the recruitment's been brilliant, and they're the right type of characters as well. Training's gone up a level since they've all come in. And I think you look at our 11, then you look at the subs, and then you look at even the lads that aren't in the squad and that are on the injury table. And I think I wouldn't like to say that anybody in the league would have a better squad than that. So, yeah, it's a great run. And I mean, you look around the changing room and you just think that it just feels like we're not going to get beat, to be honest.
Just Lee had said a while ago that he didn't think he had one striker in the building that would get 20 goals a season. Did you see those quotes? Because the fans were talking about it a bit, and they were sort of saying, oh, is this kidology from Lee? What would you say about it? You're on five already.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was at this level, I think I had 15, 16 by Christmas. So, obviously, I've not played solely through the middle under the manager. But I'd like to, obviously. That's where I like to be. I like getting in those positions. And I feel like I'm at an age now where I'm very comfortable in my own skin and with my own game, that I know what I'm good at. And I know I can score goals at this level. I have done before. So, yeah, I'd like to think it was kidology, like you said, from the manager. But the other thing is, he's going to rotate us all as well. We've seen that. So, I mean, if we can get one of us on 20, then fantastic. And hopefully that one will be me.
Space on the right-hand side for Alfie Doughty now in the penalty area. This is a huge chance for the Alex, and it's Alfie Doughty who puts Charlton into the lead with a calm left-footed finish. It was a wonderful fall through to the youngster, and he pulled it in onto his left foot and slides it beyond the goalkeeper. It's Crewe Alexandra nil, Charlton Athletic 1.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back then to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just before the break, then we heard from Connor Washington, Tom, and as I was saying, like, so Connor Washington, right? Just so I'll explain it to everyone, because maybe Bo didn't get it. Maybe it was that. So Washington is the name.
Yeah, that's
of
what
the
it was.
Place. Yeah, probably is where the US, like the White House, is, like where the President of the United States lives. And now Tuesday night, you may have heard it in the news, was the night of the US election, right? So Washington, yeah. And Connor Washington, our striker, Tuesday night, scored twice. Brilliant. So obviously I told it to Bo, as you heard earlier on, and he was internally laughing, it would appear. But I did mention it to, I don't think it made the cut for the bit I put in for the pod, but I did mention it to Connor, and he was rolling on the floor laughing. They had to cut the recording because he was laughing so hard. And you can see why, Tom. Clearly a man with a great sense of humour.
Sure, yeah. The clip I saw wasn't so much that. It was more a very polite, I don't know who this man is, but I'm just going to laugh and be nice. But, I mean, you interpret it any way you like, mate. Anything. They all count, don't they?
as a man who's on a high from scoring two goals, he's already, you know, five for the season. He's thinking, what's going to make this night better? Hopefully someone will make the link between my surname, Washington, and the United States Capitol building, which I've never thought of before. And he was delighted, and I was glad to put a smile on his face. We do have an email actually that's coming from Andrew Whiffin, and some very sad news. You may have seen this week that Matt Tees passed away, a former addict during the mid to late 60s. And this email's come from Andrew, who says, "Dear Charlton Live, I wanted to let current fans know what a big contribution Matt Tees made to Charlton during the mid and late 60s and to mark his passing. As a physical presence on the pitch, you would have laughed at his pale, skinny legs and lightweight build up against big, tough defenders who knew how to kick a player and stop them in their tracks. But when it came to winning the ball in the air, he had no fear and ability way above the second division we were playing in. Whoever had to clean his boots has an easy time. Passes to his feet were unusual. There is some match of the day footage of him during a 2-0 defeat of Derby County. I think Matt scored the second. Brackets rare to be on the TV in those days. The cameras were there for Derby, who were in the promotion race from Division 2. Yeah, it sounds right. And unusual for us to win as well on TV. But he says he was such a pivotal part of the attack, winning the ball for the team in the air. After he was sold back to Grimsby, our wingers and backs just kept putting crosses in, and the fans and team kept expecting Matt to be there to win the ball. It was a shock a few years ago to see him on Alan Shearer's BBC programme on brain damage from heading the ball, as he was suffering from dementia. He was totally dependent on his loving wife and family. From what I saw on match days and all the practice that must have happened on the training ground unseen, I'm convinced that dementia was caused by heading the ball. I don't think that modern balls will be that much better, just like low tar cigarettes are cancer free. Anyway, that's for another day. I hope the fans and the club can mark his passing in some significant way. RIP and Matt Tees." And that's a wonderful email, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. And it just goes to show, actually, like, obviously, we're talking about a player who was before my time, but he clearly had this reputation, because when I saw his name this week, I already knew about his heading ability with the ball. That was something that he was very well remembered for. But obviously, anyone who saw that Alan Shearer documentary is something that's played a massive part in a lot of former players' health going forward, and it's really sad to see. But thank you to Andrew for sharing that with us, and our best wishes go to Matt Tees, his family. There's a big thread on Charlton Life as well if you wish to go and share your memories of the great man. Right, let's have a look ahead to the game with Plymouth then in the FA Cup. Lewis, how are you feeling about this one? I mean, it is going to be changes upon changes, really, isn't it? So, you know, considering the run we've been on in the league, are you putting that much pressure on us to go through in the cup? I mean, are you worried about the momentum being lost or gained from a cup run?
It's hard to call, really. I mean, it would always be nice to go on a bit of a cup run. It's a great opportunity for some other players that might not be getting, you know, consistent minutes to get some game time. It's an opportunity for Ash Maynard Brewer to get some minutes in goal, and a couple of players that maybe aren't 100% fit to try and get in there. You know, Marcus Madison hasn't really featured, really, apart from those minutes at Sunderland, and we know what player he can be when fully fit. So this is probably a good opportunity for him to come in and get some game time. In terms of the pressure, I won't be too gutted if we go out, because it's such a congested season, and given our record with injuries and everything, I wouldn't want to pack it with too many fixtures. But ultimately, also, I don't want to lose a game of football. So if we do lose, I won't be too gutted, as long as we put in a decent performance and it's beneficial to those players that aren't getting as many minutes in the league at the moment. And if we go on and win, then great. It'd be good to get a decent tie in the next round. You know, I'd like to get one of the non-league guys, like a Bromley or a Tunbridge or something, you know, one of the local guys. It's just a shame we can't be there to watch it, obviously. But yeah, it's a great opportunity to rotate and get some game time into some of those players. And yeah, ultimately it's beneficial, isn't it? But I won't be too gutted if we do go out. But you know, the FA Cup is a fantastic competition, isn't it? And we've had memories of getting to the quarterfinals not so long ago up at Sheffield United, and that was an incredible day. So you never know if the tail end stages of the competition are there and wearing it and fans are allowed back in, then you never know what sort of draw you might get. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that would be slightly sad if we get all the way to the final as a League One club and the fans aren't allowed to be there. I mean, Carl tweeted in a question for you, Tom. He says, with next week's game postponed, obviously the Rochdale game has been called off next weekend for international call-ups. I think Williams, Gunter and Levitt are with Wales and Washington with Northern Ireland. Carl says, would you still make wholesale changes for the cup game, or would you give the guys a few days off next week? So would you play them Saturday, knowing fully well that they've got a week off coming up anyway? So, you know, which way do you land with that? Do you take the risk and at the same time keep a level of fitness going, or do you just give effectively what would be for first team members of the squad 2 weeks off now if that's the way that sort of Lee picks it?
That's the way I'd be doing it. I think the likes of Johnny and Levitt and Connor and Gunts, as you say, they're going to be playing football the following week anyway with their nations. So for them, probably give them a rest this week, because if not, they're going to be playing all the way through. And for the others, I think, as Bowyer himself has said, with Pierce and Madison as some good examples, these two games are a good opportunity to get some minutes in their legs. Maybe like Omar as well, playing his way back into fitness and form is someone that you want to see minutes from. But then there's probably other players who you do want to rest a little bit. You know, any player that's even just taken a little knock, you know, like Famwo having to come off, even if he is back and available, do you want to take the risk with him? Probably not, no. I'm not so worried about the lack of momentum. You look at the team we're playing, obviously from the same division. So if we were to lose to them, it's not a humiliation against non-league. And if we're to get through, you think of Fulham away, obviously, in the League One season under Powell. You know, the FA Cup, okay, we got hammered 4-0 there, but that almost served as a real bonus for that season. So if we go through, brilliant. If we don't, I'm not going to lose much sleep over it. But I think the key thing is about maintaining the squad. So for me, I'd be going wholesale changes other than those that you feel need the minutes. And by that, I mean players like Marcus Madison and players who are currently playing who perhaps just need more time to get themselves up to speed. But no, on the whole, I would expect a fair few changes for the next two games.
Yeah, it is a great chance, isn't it, for some players to get some minutes. And just on a side note, I know I said earlier that Roberto Firmino was one of the last people on earth that I'd expect to see Omar Bogle compared to. I've sent a text to Nathan to see if he could guess who Tom's compared him to. And just to give you an idea of how far down the list Roberto Firmino is, Firmino, whatever his name is, Nathan's gone through Sean Gota and Neil Shipperley and Efe Nkoku before we've got anywhere near Roberto Firmino. So yeah, that was an out of left field comparison there. Lewis, you mentioned Marcus Madison then. So Richard again quotes with Bowyer this afternoon. He's likely to be involved Saturday and Tuesday in the Papa John's. So, I mean, excited to see what he can do. Now he's just hopefully just got over this little niggling injury that he's got, because I mean he's a player the quality of which you add to the squad and the performances we've put in so far, and the rest of League One are going to have to sit up and take notice, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we know what he can do at this level. He's done it against us, and we've seen it, you know, throughout when he was at Peterborough. Some of the goals that he scored have been phenomenal, and also what he brings to the strikers in terms of assists. You know, I think he's notched like double figures assists for Peterborough, and consistently for the last maybe 4 or 5 seasons, which is some stat. And at this level as well, where you've got quality strikers like Chucks and EK, Omar, Connor Washington, Paul Smith, you know, they're going to thrive off that once Marcus is up to speed. And it's a good opportunity for him to come in now and sort of, without the pressure of the league, almost come in and try and find his feet. Because I think if he does get firing, there's one hell of a player there. And that's what probably could be one of the best bits of business we'll do. Obviously, like we say, he hasn't played a huge amount of football, and he's not been able to kick on so far because of that slight niggle he's had with his ankle. So now that he's fit and able to get minutes in, I think it's a great opportunity for him to show what we're about and also, you know, try and cement himself a place in that midfield, which we know is congested with incredible competition for places. So, yeah, I'm excited to see Marcus get some real game time. You know, whether he goes from the start or if he comes on and plays sort of 20 minutes or so and then plays more in the Papa John's, I don't know. But I'd like to see him from the start. I really would. And I think that once he finds his feet, I think we've unearthed a bit of a rough diamond, and I think he'll be a really good player for us.
We've got some good news. Nathan news here. Nathan has actually guessed Roberto Firmino. But yeah, that was with a little bit of prompting from Tom. And he is currently saying, don't say that you compared Omar Bogle to Firmino. And then he says, I would have hung up if I was on live today. So I don't think Nathan quite sees the similarities there, Tom. But to be fair, as we said, he went through Paolo Wanchope, Pierre Van Hooijdonk, Michael Ricketts and Emil Heskey before he got there. So it was a bit out of the blue.
He gives it all this tactical nous, but really he doesn't know what's going on.
Shots fired.
Right, let's call time. Let's have a look at some predictions then. Hard one to predict, really, I admit, because we don't know what sort of side either team is going to put out. Plymouth have won their last two in League One, a 4-2 home win over Swindon and a 2-1 home win over Doncaster. They're away form. They haven't won on the road at all this season. In fact, they've lost 4 out of 6 on the road in all competitions. 4-4 draw at Wimbledon, so I'll be up for a bit of that excitement. But yeah, no wins on the road for Plymouth so far this season. So, Tom, what's your prediction for Saturday?
I think we'll win 1-0.
Yeah? I was going to say, who's going to score it? But we don't know who's going to play yet, so it doesn't really matter. And Lewis, how do you see it going?
I'm going to go 2-0, and I think Madison will get one.
It's a shame we didn't play Plymouth on Tuesday, actually, the night of the US election, because they're called the Pilgrims, aren't they? Because of that whole, basically, Plymouth founded it. I think, like, my history's not bang on, but basically, Plymouth founded America from there somehow. So, you know, Connor Washington and the Pilgrims. Oh, it would have been brilliant. I could have come up with 10 jokes on that. But we won't waste our time on that anymore. I think we've got to the end of this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've listened to the show. Thanks to Lewis and to Tom for joining in and for laughing at all my hilarious jokes.
No worries, mate.
Cheers, mate.
And thanks to those of you who listen. We'll be back on Sunday to look back at the game against Plymouth in the FA Cup. Then we'll have a bit of a break because it is the international break. But we look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and we shall speak to you then. See you later.
Roberto Firmino. Absolute what a wrong'un you are. Roberto Firmino. Jesus Christ, boy.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.